Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, saints of God, happy Sabbath to you. Welcome back to another program, the Prophetic Insights on the Advent Channel. We're so happy to be back here. It's almost like the week is going by so fast. Time has sped up. And it's almost like the moment you just begin your week on a Monday, it's already Friday. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. To me, it's good in two ways, in that it takes us a step closer to seeing the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At the same time, it takes us weaker in the presence of God to worship Him and to be with Him every Sabbath. So, I would say the third part would be it takes us closer to sort of spend time with our brothers and sisters in church. But these days, we can't even really do that because of this state of affairs around the world right now. There are churches, I was told, that have been closed since last February, March, and they've not been open in the U.S., and other parts of the world, including Canada. And so these individuals have not seen their brothers and sisters, some of them, over a year. Maybe they've seen each other on Zoom and that, but physically they're not able to see their brothers and sisters. So strange times that we're in. I know a lot of people are saying that this is not new to us, but it's new to this generation, because this is the first time I am experiencing such a pandemic. The last time I'd experienced such an emergency situation like that was in 2010, when we got hit by Hurricane Tomas. Things were just different for a couple of weeks before we could go back to some sort of normalcy. But the thing about this one is that it's not really going to go back to normal. There is no going back to the normalcy that we knew prior to March 2020. So, I mean, we just have to get used to what is going to be coming next, and there will be a lot of features, a lot of new legislation, different little things that will be implemented, changing the way that we travel. We've gotten used to those things by now, because after 9/11, we had to adjust to some stringent policies, such as removal of shoes and belt and getting scanned at the airports and that sort of thing. So now, I mean, with this whole situation, you know, you need to prepare for, you know, the things that are going to be coming along with the new quote unquote normal. Let me just take some time here to welcome Elder Philip Powell. I see we have Elder Johnson is back here with us. Happy Sabbath to you, Sister Andruna. Happy Sabbath to you. We have a couple of folks, Sister Marlin is watching, Sister Judith, okay, Sister Crystal, and a couple of other people watching. So let me just also take some time to shout out my friend over in Karachi, Pakistan. He's a very, very close friend of mine. We work together. So I want to just say a shout out to Waheed over there, who's watching with his family. Welcome and happy Sabbath to you. I know that you're also observing the Sabbath, but though we may be of a different denomination, but I'm still happy that you're able to join us here tonight with your family. So blessed be to you and your family, and blessed be to all of you and your family. Let us pray as we get into the message tonight. I want to be very short. We're going for maybe an hour and a half or less, but I have a couple of announcements before we get into the message. But first of all, let us pray. As we are about to pray, let me just ask you to pray for Advent Channel, pray for me and my family, and pray for the connection, that we don't get interrupted, because, you know, crazy things are happening to these days with the internet service. Also pray for every person who's also watching the program, every other person who's watching the program all around the world and who will be watching the program in the future, because obviously the those who didn't get to watch it live will be able to see the rerun or the replay. So just pray with me in your minds as we go into prayer right now. Let us pray. Gracious Father, which art in heaven, we thank you for this moment where we have gathered on our devices, in our homes, wherever we are, to learn more about your word and to learn more about you. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, that has been able to give us a second chance to redeem us from the pit of hell. I pray, dear Lord, that your Spirit will condescend upon the tables of our hearts. But before doing so, Father, I pray that you cleanse us from inside and within and outside, that you may cast our sins into the depths of the sea. And I pray that you will restore in us the joy of thy salvation. Restore in us your Spirit in full measure. Take full control of us. Lead us in every single decision that we make, whether it is financial, whether it is family, whether it is a career decision. Whatever the decision may be, Father, I pray that you will lead us, speak to us. Send someone, if we can't hear your voice, send someone to speak to us with wisdom that makes sense to us according to your will. I pray, dear Lord, that you will bless the viewers, wherever they may be watching from. Bless their individual families, those who have given their lives over to you, and those who are contemplating, and those who are considering. Father, those who are watching this program and they've not made a decision for you, I pray that your Spirit will convict and they will see the need to surrender all to you before it is eternally too late. Be with my family likewise. I pray that you may bless them and continue to be with all of us, strengthen us. And as we're about to study your word, Father, lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you very much for your prayers. Thank you so much for staying tuned with us tonight. We're going to have something very, very interesting. We're going to be studying the writings of Sister White tonight concerning end time prophecy, and particularly our attitude towards end time prophecy. This is what we're going to be looking at tonight. However, I just want to make a few announcements concerning our program for tomorrow. Tomorrow, God's willing, at 10 o'clock, we are going to be back live at 10 a.m. with a very, very special health message. Health for the final crisis. This health message is going to be very enlightening. We are going to dig into many of the quotations that Sister White has given unto us and the advice that she has given regarding modern medicine versus alternative medicine, or rather natural medicine. We are going to be looking at that from 10 o'clock in the morning. But the key feature, the feature for tomorrow, is going to be coming up at 3 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time, that is Caribbean time, which would equate to 2 p.m. Eastern Time, U.S. So if you are in the U.S., tune in from 9 o'clock in the morning, and we will be on with a very special presentation, Health for the Final Crisis. And then at 2 p.m. U.S. time, 3 o'clock our time in St. Lucia, we will be doing our feature presentation, or rather feature program, which is going to feature my guest from Florida. You've read the bio that he has. We're talking about Dr. Timothy who will be with us tomorrow, God's willing, from about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So don't, I mean, make sure you don't miss these programs. It's going to be very, very enlightening, very informative. Even as you contemplate, you may be battling between trying to decide whether you should be taking the vaccine or not, or what God has in store for you, or what God is really speaking to you about. And so you may want to start to watch the program from tonight. Now that you're watching, don't go away. Make sure you share this link that's going on right now with your friends and family, as well as tomorrow from 10 o'clock St. Lucian time, or rather 9 o'clock U.S. time, we will be back on with a very, very important presentation, Health for the Final Crisis. And then we're going to come back at about 3 o'clock St. Lucian time, which is 2 o'clock U.S. time, for our feature presentation, our feature program, where I bring on to speak about vaccines, Sister White vaccination, Ellen G. White, and Adventist history. Dr. Timothy will be with us then. But we're going straight into the message. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message that you've given to us. Pray that your spirit will lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's get to the message for tonight. The title is Spiritual Stupidity. Spiritual Stupidity. I will explain to you why it's titled that way at the end of the program. But for now, we're going to get into the message. And we start off, because remember, we're doing an investigative look at our attitude according to the writings of Sister White for the end time, or the last days. So this is what we'll be looking at tonight. So we're going to start with a quote here from the Review and Herald, November 24th, 1904. And the quote says, "The time of trouble, which is to increase until the end, is very near at hand. We have no time to lose. The world is stirred with the spirit of war. The prophecies of the 11th of Daniel have almost reached their final fulfillment." And this was written in 1904, and I could well imagine we are more than 100 years since this was written. How much more are we closer than the day that this was written to admonish those who are reading it of how much time is left? And I'd like to say that we really don't have much time left, because the signs are all around us. We are actually in what is supposed to be called a pestilence, but it's called a pandemic. But this is COVID-19 virus is really a pestilence affecting us, which is part of the prophecy from Matthew chapter 24, which is supposed to indicate that we are living in the last days. Now, I can understand when you say we're living in the last days, does it really mean the end of time? These signs are supposed to tell of the end of time, because really the end of time has its own signs and characteristics and scenarios that will indicate to us that we are living in that particular time. Therefore, I just want us to recognize that we don't have much time left. And over the last couple of weeks, from since last year we've been doing presentations, you would have really recognized by now the messaging in the presentations that we have brought to you, speaking to the time of the end and how much time we have left. I really don't want to give anyone the impression that we still have much time to go, because really, clearly, we don't have much time to go. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 6, page 128 and 129 says, "They should know the things that will come to pass." And obviously, Sister White is speaking about the individuals living in the time of the end, or in the last days. They, meaning us, we all, should know the things that will come to pass before the closing up of the world's history. These things concern our eternal welfare, and teachers and students should give more attention to them. You didn't just hear what I just read, did you? So let me say it again, the last sentence. These things concern our eternal welfare. Which things? She's referring to the things that will come to pass before the closing up of the world's history. So these things that will come to pass before the closing up of world's history are things that concern our eternal welfare. And teachers, she's admonishing, and students as well, should give more attention to them. So not only are the teachers are supposed to give more attention to them, but the students should also give more attention to these things. So which things is she talking about? She's talking about the things that will come to pass. Therefore, she's talking about the signs of the end. She's talking about prophecy. She's talking about the things that will indicate to us that we are living in the last days. And therefore, more attention should be given to these things. Selected Messages, Book 2, page 35, he reads, "We are not now able to describe with accuracy the scenes to be enacted in our world in the future. But this we do know, that this is a time we must watch unto prayer, for the great day of the Lord is at hand." Now, sister, why this is a statement here that I want to just pause for a second and to break it down so that you can understand what she's saying and what we're supposed to extrapolate from it as well. Sister White is saying, we are not now able, so which we she's talking about? She's talking about herself, and she's talking about people in her time, that they're not now able to describe with accuracy. So while she may be talking about certain things that God has shown her that will take place in the end time, she cannot in her time talk about the accuracy of those sins that are to be enacted and brought before us in our world in the future. The very statement she's making here also references the fact that Daniel, though given a prophecy of the end time, could not speak to the accuracy of the events that would have taken place at the time. And so we're talking about, Sister Whitehair is really talking about the fact that in terms of going into the nitty-gritty of these events to see exactly in no uncertain terms, in much certain terms, the accuracy of those events, she couldn't speak to the pandemic and how the pandemic or how we would respond to the pandemic and the things that would have come out of that pandemic, the legislation that would have come out of that pandemic that will take the steps of the enemy one step closer. She couldn't speak to the nitty-gritty of those things with great accuracy because these things that are happening now is not happening or are not happening in her time. Likewise, Daniel could not speak with accuracy about sins that would have happened even in Sister Ellen White's time. But he would have spoken on a broad view. It is only when Sister White is now living in her time that she's studying the writings of Daniel. She's now able to put together what God had revealed to Daniel, and now making sense in terms of the accuracy of the events that would have been happening even in her time. If you understand what I'm saying. So we're talking about the prophetic time of 1844. In Daniel's time, they couldn't have put that together. And so God had to give further light to the individuals who were living in that time so that they could be aware of the prophecy that was given to Daniel and interpret it according to events that were taking place in their time. Likewise, events that are taking place in our time, Sister White could not speak with great accuracy in terms of how these things were going to be fulfilled, but she could speak to the broad view of those events in our time to let us know that these are the references that she spoke of, and therefore we need to pay more attention and look closer at those events to investigate the accuracy of things that are associated with it. So if you see where I'm going with this, you understand what I'm saying? That because Sister White said she's not saying she will never know or they would never know. She's not saying we would never know or never be able to know. She's saying in her time, she's not now able to describe with accuracy the scenes to be enacted in our world in the future. So giving us the nitty-gritty of events that are going to take place in the future, she's not able to do that right now. However, in our time, when we see these things begin to unfold, and they're unfolding even as time goes by, we're now able to speak to the accuracy of those things or the scenes of events that are actually happening right before us. But you see, the thing is, we are so blind that we restrict our minds from looking deeper into the events that are happening right before us. And so we're not connecting the spiritual dots. We're not looking through our spiritual glasses, but we're looking at things from a carnal mind. And if you're looking at things from a carnal mind, you're not going to be able to see the message that is in the prophecy from God, because you're looking with the wrong lens. You're not looking with spiritual lens. You're looking with carnal lens. And there's no way you're going to be able to see the prophetic events according to what's happening right in front of you. And trust me, there are many, many, many prophetic events happening all over the world today. It's just a matter of us looking. But you see, the thing is, we're looking from a macroscopic point of view. So we see the wars and we associate the wars directly with what Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24. So we're seeing the pestilence, and so we can associate the pestilence with Matthew 24. We're seeing the macro events, but the micro events, the things that are being prompted by those events, that is more like a domino effect. We are ignoring it, and we're calling that conspiracy theories. We're saying we're only speculating. But you see, we're not looking with the right lens. We're looking with the carnal lens. So we're not separating these events. Or rather, we are separating these events as being exclusive to themselves and they have nothing to do with end time prophecy. And this is the problem with us as Bible students and prophetic students, because we don't spend enough time reading the books of Sister White, because there's so many codes and so many connections that are found within the books, within the writings of Sister White, that if we were studying those things, when we look at the world events and we look at the things that are actually happening in the world today, we could basically look at those things and see with great clarity the prophetic points that are taking place in the world today. We're moving on quickly here to evangelism, page 194 and 195. And the quote says, "There are many who do not understand the prophecies relating to these days, and they must be enlightened. It is the duty of both watchmen and laymen to give the trumpet a certain sound." It is a fact that we amongst ourselves within the Seventh Adventist Church, we do not have a collective understanding of scriptures, particularly prophecy. And what we don't understand, we most times reject. if we don't have an understanding or we don't see something according to an interpretation of another brother or sister or a pastor or an elder or whoever, we reject, but we don't investigate. You see, the problem with us, and that is where we go wrong. Rejecting truth and rejecting light that comes to us, does, because we don't understand and because we don't see the connection, cannot excuse us from God's judgment. Because when light comes to us, whether we understand it or we don't understand it, it is incumbent upon each one of us to do further reading, to investigate what has been presented to you, and to do more reading. Because I'll tell you something, you need to test every bit of information that is being presented to you, because if you don't and you take things at face value, there's danger in that. If you also reject light that is being given to you, you don't even know if God is presenting new light to you. You don't even know if God is presenting an individual to you to give you new information, to charge you to go and do his work for him in the future, but you're rejecting it. And so we must be very careful. The decisions we make when light is being given to us, we need to test it. At all times, do further investigations. I have had many situations where I have read the good books that God has given us through the prophet, Sister White. And certain quotes that have remained with me, though I could not reference them accurately, but I would have paraphrased it based on my understanding of what was written. And so when I would have regurgitated what I had read to my fellow brothers and sisters, they would react with such shock, and they would blatantly reject what I was saying and say, no, that is not true. And this is the correct understanding that they have had over the years. And so when I would get home, I would have gone back to my studies that I would have saved somewhere on my computer, look up the quotations that I had saved, copy them, and send it to them so that they could do further study. Now, what they do with that, I don't know. Whether they will investigate further to find the proper context and interpretation of the text that I would have sent to them or not. But the point is, this is something that happens all too often within the church. So because something sounds strange to us, we reject it off the bat. We don't even test it. We don't even say, okay, let's do a Bible study. Let's do a prophetic study. Let's do a spirit of prophecy study to investigate those things that you're talking about. Because let me just tell you, I will give you the benefit of the doubt that what you're saying may be true. But because I have not come across it, I would like to investigate. I would like to look at it myself. So if you could furnish me with the text, you could furnish me with the scriptures and whatnot, I'll look at it and we could come back and then we could have a study. This is really the approach that you get from brothers and sisters within the church. You don't get that. What you get is, I have never heard this before, so it could never be right. I reject it. And this is the wrong attitude when it comes to learning. When it comes to learning, because you've not understood something or you've not come across something, doesn't mean that somebody who has the information presenting to you, doesn't mean that they're wrong because you don't know about it. And we need to change our attitude when it comes to learning from each other. We are supposed to learn from each other. I don't know everything. But I spend time reading and studying and making sure that I could learn as much as possible so that I can share with you. This is my motivation, sharing information with you. This is what propels me to learn. And therefore, I'm saying to you that our attitudes concerning learning must change. It must change. And so Testimonies for the Church, Volume 8, page 302, 1904, reads, the solemn messages that have been given in their order in the Revelation are to occupy the first place in the minds of God's people. The three angels' messages, obviously, should occupy the forefront, our frontal lobe, frontal cortex. This is where this information is supposed to be. It is supposed to be at the forefront of every preacher's sermons. Every minister's sermons should include the three angels' message or some aspect of it. We're living in the last days, and therefore we have to give the message for the last days, which is the three angels' messages. And it also includes the sanctuary message. Because you cannot preach the three angels' messages without having to touch on the work that Christ is now doing in the sanctuary and the work that he came to do. So you cannot preach the three angels' message without preaching Christ. It's impossible. It is impossible. And therefore, I have heard too many arguments saying that we're too focused and obsessed with prophecy and current events, that we need to go back and teach and preach about the gospel and the life of Jesus. Listen, the life of Jesus, yes, it includes the prophecies. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself spent time talking about the prophecies, but he also spent time, more time, I would say, ministering to the sick, which we will touch on tomorrow, God's willing, in the morning. But the message for this time, which is supposed to warn the people of what is coming and to warn the people of a probation that is soon to be closed, is supposed to be at the forefront of our ministry and our minds. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 7, page 14 says, "Those who place themselves under God's control to be led and guided by him will catch the steady thread of events ordained by him to take place." Now remember earlier we spoke about the fact that Sister White said in her time, now she's not able to speak with such accuracy concerning events that are to take place in the closing scenes of Earth's history. However, here she's saying those who place themselves under God's control to be led and guided by him will catch the steady thread of events ordained by him to take place. We're talking about the steady thread of events. So as the events are happening, when you place yourself under God's control and you are being led and guided by him, he will reveal to you the events that are taking place as they unfold, and he will also reveal to you the nitty-gritty of those events. He will also reveal to you the very things that are happening behind the scenes so that you could pay attention to it. Though Sister White was not able to speak to those things, she's saying God is going to reveal the steady thread of events, the nitty-gritty of those events, those things that are happening right now as they have ordained to take place, will be revealed to all of us who make ourselves available for God to reveal those things to us. And therefore, that is why I'm saying that a lot of people refer to individuals who are actually preaching and teaching current events, prophecy, Bible prophecy and current events, persons who are teaching and lecturing and preaching about those things are being labeled these days, and so much being labeled these days as conspiracy theorists. But no one is stopping just for a second to ponder and say, is God really revealing events and the order of those events and information regarding those events? Is it really God revealing those things? Have we tried and tested these individuals and the information that they're giving to us? I really don't get it. Sometimes I wonder whether it is really the fact that we are so focused on the carnal things, we're so focused on the worldly matters, and we're so invested in worldly events that we really don't want to see what's really happening behind the scenes. Because if we were supposed to see what's really happening behind the scene, as a matter of fact, if God was supposed to reveal to us what's really happening behind the scenes, I'm wondering whether we would really be willing to let go of the world completely. Because I am starting to understand The reason why many of us are not able to see and accept the fact that there are things happening behind the scenes, and we shouldn't be taking things at face value, particularly with this pandemic, I'm starting to realize that if people were to accept the information that has been presented to them and not call these things conspiracy theories, if they were to accept that, they know that they would have to change the way they live, detach themselves from the world, and focus more on heavenly things. And therefore, their goals, their educational goals, their physical, worldly goals, and all of the achievements that they would like to have would have to be sacrificed on the altar. They would have to abandon those goals completely and make a right about turn to begin to live the life that God is calling upon all of us to live. This is the decision that they know they would have to make, and therefore they want to delay it some more. We want to delay that decision some more before we could actually come to make that commitment that we need to make to detach ourselves from the world completely and to focus on the work that God has asked us to do and to focus on God completely 100%. The reason is many of us are not willing to make that commitment right now, and therefore we're dismissing anything that will give us that sort of urgency to make that decision, and we reject the information that because to accept information such as the fact that the legislation that has been implemented with the pandemic is going to change and lead to the Sunday law. For us to accept such a thing means that we need to change the way we live. It means we have to forego our goals, our educational goals, you know, trying to achieve a doctorate, trying to achieve our master's or our bachelor's, trying to build our homes, trying to acquire land, trying to acquire wealth, trying to establish our careers, you know, trying to do things that we all have goals. So to accept the fact that there is a huge shift and a huge play going on behind the scenes to push forward events that are going to really signal the last scenes, the last closing scenes of the world's history, for us to recognize that this is really happening means that we have to sacrifice everything that we want to achieve and to change our lives. And many of us, we're not ready for that right now. And therefore, we reject that information as mere conspiracy. We reject that information as mere speculation. Therefore, we don't have to deal with the urgency of the Spirit to that is calling us to change the way we live. That is as simple as it is. So the Great Controversy, page 594, says, so in the prophecies, the future is open before us as plainly as it was open to the disciples by the words of Christ. The events connected with the close of probation and the work of preparation for the time of trouble are clearly presented. But multitudes have no more understanding of these important truths than if they had never been revealed. Lord have mercy. There are many of us who have no clue about what's really happening behind the scenes, and not that we have no clue, we don't want to know, because the information has been presented and we reject it as conspiracy, we reject it as speculation. And when we reject those things, it is as if the information had never been revealed to the prophets, to the disciples, to Sister White, to John, to Daniel. When we reject truth and we reject light, it's almost as if God had never given information to us, because we would just remain ignorant. But let me tell you something, willful ignorance is no excuse on the day of judgment. Because God is going to judge each one of us who had the opportunity to learn and chose not to learn, for whatever reasons we may have. We're living in a time where information is at our fingertips. We're not living in dark ages where we were not readily given information and information was not readily available. We're living in an information age, a technologically advanced age where we could get the information that we want at our fingertips. We all have cell phones. We all have phones and devices, and we all have computers and all of those things. We have access to the internet. At least most of us do. The books, the information, they're all on the internet. This program is on the internet. So ignorance is not going to be an excuse for us in the last days. God is going to hold all of us responsible for not studying and learning about what we need to learn in these last days. Now let's address something quickly here as we're going to be winding down very soon. As I said, we're not going to be long tonight. I want to address the term that people use very, very often. They say, what will be, will be. There are a set of individuals who, when presented with events or current events and how they're linked to prophecy. So we're talking about decisions that the Pope would have made, decisions that the United Nations would have made, decisions that America would have made. When presented with such information, one of the first things they would say is, if prophecy has to be fulfilled, it will be fulfilled. Let us not be obsessed with those things and pay attention. We know what the word says. These are the things we say. We know what the word says. We know that the Pope is going to do what he's going to do. We know that Rome is going to do what he's going to do. We know America is going to do what it's going to do. So let us just forget those things we were talking about and let's move on and focus on God and let us worship God. Let's focus on Jesus. Let's focus on our relationship with Jesus and forget those little things and leave that alone because we know those things are going to happen. In other words, shut up about it already. That's really what we're trying to tell individuals who are preaching to us about those things and raising awareness. Because this is the duty that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be watchmen, raising the alarm. In case we don't understand what a watchman is, a watchman was supposed to be somebody who had been given a post on a tower, on a high place somewhere, and given a trumpet. And this person was supposed to watch when the enemy would have been approaching the walls. So let's say the walls of Jericho, or let's say the walls that protected Israel. They would have been on the border, on that wall, with a trumpet. And when they would have noticed an enemy approaching, they would have raised an alarm by blowing that trumpet, giving that trumpet a certain sound, alerting the individuals who are within the camp that danger is approaching. So this was the role of a watchman back in the Old Testament. And so God is basically asking us in the New Testament right now. We're living in the New Testament. God is asking us right now to be watchmen. What is the role of a watchman? A watchman is supposed to see the danger is approaching and to raise awareness, sounding the alarm and letting individuals know that there is danger ahead. When you try to silence a watchman, you're basically taking away the only measure that is supposed to tell you that a storm is coming. So when you tell meteorologists are watchmen, if you didn't know, meteorologists are watchmen. So when you tell the meteorologist to shut up and just focus on God, God will protect us for whatever is coming, is going to come. We know that the storms, we live in the car. This is how stupid it sounds. And I'm sorry to use the word stupid, but the Bible does use foolish. So let me just use foolish if stupid is too much of a harsh word. So let's use the term foolish. It is foolish. This is how foolish we sound when we say to the meteorologist, that, listen, enough with coming on the radio and talking about hurricanes and storms and tropical waves and troughs and all of those things. We live in the Caribbean. We know those things are going to come, particularly from the month of June to the month of November. We know those things are going to come. All we have to do is prepare ourselves for whenever it comes and we're prepared. God will protect us. We believe in God. God is going to protect us. So we don't need you to announce to us when a storm is coming. We don't need you to tell us that a storm is coming. We know that the storms are going to come. This is how foolish we sound. So let's take, for instance, we tell this meteorologist to shut up about announcing when storms come. There may be individuals who do not have access to radios and do not have access to information and stuff, and who do not have the necessary protection that they need in their homes. And so when you shut up the meteorologist, though you may be ready for whatever, so you would have bought up your... By the way, if you don't even know at what time the storm is going to be coming, you know there are storms going to... You know storms are going to come. Right? You know a hurricane is going to come anytime between the month of June to November. If you don't know the exact time that the storm is going to touch and affect you, how do you know when to board up your house? So are you going to board up your house from the month of June till November, that whenever a storm approaches, you're already boarded up? So that means your windows are going to be closed. Sunlight is not going to enter your home. Air is not going to enter your home because you've boarded up your house. You've basically said you're prepared for any storm that's going to come. So you don't want a meteorologist to tell you when the storm is going to come. You've boarded up your house from, you're talking about June, July, August, September, October, November, 6 months. You've boarded up your house prepared for a storm. Does that make sense? That's foolish. It is foolish. There's a need for meteorologists to monitor systems and to tell us at, not maybe, not necessarily the precise time that the storms are going to hit, but a window between a particular time and a particular time. And most times we at least have 24 hours before. So a whole day, most times we have a whole day or even 48 hours notice. These days we have even 3 days notice to let us know when a storm is actually going to be affecting us. So we know when to go and get supplies. We know exactly when to board up, and we know all those things because the watchman, the meteorologist, is telling us exactly what time it is coming. There's a place for watchmen even in God's church. God has set up watchmen to be able to tell us exactly what is going on and when certain things are happening, so that we know how to prepare ourselves and we know at which point to detach ourselves from the world, completely, and to move to the hills. There's a need for watchmen in God's church. There's a need for watchmen in the camp of Israel. And so I want to read this from Review and Herald, December 24th, 1889, paragraph 3. It's very important here. There are many who are at ease, who are, as it were, asleep. They say, if prophecy has foretold the enforcement of Sunday observance, the law will surely be enacted. And having come to this conclusion, they sit down in calm expectation of the event, comforting themselves with the thought that God will protect his people in the day of trouble. But God will not save us if we make no effort to do the work he has committed to our charge, including being watchmen. We must be found faithfully guarding the outpost, watching as vigilant soldiers, lest Satan shall gain an advantage which it is our duty to prevent. Here she's saying it is possible to prevent the attack of Satan on God's people by being prepared enough. There are many persons, I've heard this from many Seventh Adventists, who get so frustrated when they say, hey, listen, we know Sunday law is coming. It's not like we don't know. We've been preaching that for many, many years. We know it's going to come. So enough with that already. Why are you so engrossed with what's happening at the Vatican? Why are you so concerned about the Pope? Why are you so concerned about America? Why are you so concerned about American politics? Why are you so concerned about the UN? Why are you so concerned about this pandemic? We know Sunday is coming. Why is it that you have to be talking about it so often? Let me tell you something. The events are fulfilling, the prophetic events are fulfilling so fast that we can't even keep up. If we can't even keep up, how do you expect us to know what is really going on so that we can prepare ourselves and to avert the danger that Satan has planned for us, the traps that he has planned to catch us off guard? You know, the plans that he has to entrap us and to destroy us and to prevent us from preparing for the soon return of Jesus Christ. How are we supposed to prepare for that if we don't pay attention and we're not vigilant? Yes, we know Sunday is going to come. We know all the prophecies and stuff, but we don't know the accuracy of the prophecies. It's only when they're happening that we're getting the revelations from God that this is this and that is that. And it's not speculation. It's not conspiracies, because the individuals themselves are telling you what their plans are. Let's get another quote from the Review and Herald, same year, paragraph 6. And she repeats the same message. My brethren, you must have Jesus enthroned within, and self must die. We must be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and then we shall not sit down saying unconcernedly, what is to be will be. Prophecy must be fulfilled. O awake, I pray you awake, for you bear the most sacred responsibilities. Let me tell you something. This is a very powerful statement right there. Sister White is saying, we must be baptized with the Holy Spirit and then we shall not sit down. So in other words, she's saying there are two parameters here, or one main parameter. She's saying that if you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, then you will not be sitting down, folding your arms and saying unconcernedly, what is to be will be. So in other words, she's saying, if we are saying, are making these statements, it means we lack the Holy Spirit. That's a hard pill for us to swallow. This is in essence what is being said. In other words, she's saying, she's giving a parameter here of something that is needed in order to avoid something. If you have this parameter, then you are going to avoid making a mistake or making this statement. If you don't have this parameter, then you are going to end up making the statement. In other words, she's saying, if you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, then you will not sit down saying unconcernedly, what is to be will be, prophecy must be fulfilled. Therefore, individuals who are making that statement, she is insinuating and she is basically saying that the reason you are making that statement is because you lack the Holy Spirit. You've not been baptized by the Holy Spirit. It means that you are not under the control of the Holy Spirit. It's a hard pill for us to swallow. But persons who are being guided by God would not be saying those things. Persons who are being led by the Spirit will not be saying those things. As a matter of fact, when they see the signs fast fulfilling, when they see end time prophecies fulfilling, they will sound the trumpet. And they will not be afraid to sound the trumpet. They will be speaking with authority, sounding the trumpet. She continues and she says, as faithful watchmen, you should see the sword coming and give the warning that men and women may not pursue a course through ignorance that they would avoid if they knew the truth. You see the reason why we have to sound the warning? You see the reason why we have to give warnings? You see the reason why we have to dig deep into the prophecies? You see the reason why we have to pay attention to current events? Paying attention to current events allows the watchmen to see the danger approaching. And then in return, when they see the danger is approaching, like the watchmen of the Old Testament, they will give the warning, they will sound the trumpet, that men and women would not pursue a course through ignorance that they would avoid if they knew the truth. Therefore, if You know the truth about what's happening right now with the whole pandemic and with the whole plans of the New World Order and the whole plans of the Vatican and all of those things. Because we're enlightening you about those plans and those things, you now make a better informed decision, not an ignorant decision. You would be making an informed decision on the way forward for your own life and your own safety and that of your family members and the people around you as well. Because you would now have information that will cause you to avoid the danger that lies ahead. Because had you not have that information, you would have found yourself going straight into the danger, because there's no... Let me give you another example of how God has used that principle, and he has embedded that principle in our physiological functions in our bodies. When you touch a hot pan on a stove, you immediately react by pulling your hands away from that pan, right? Why do you think you do that? In a split second, when you touch something that is paining you, you immediately pull away from it. Why do you think you do that? It is because you have nerve endings that detect dangers, and your brain in a split second would analyze that information that is being sent through your synapses and your neurons, telling your muscle that it needs to pull away quickly, because if it stays there longer, the danger will damage the skin of your fingers and your hand. Imagine what would have happened if you remove the watchman. So we're talking about removing the nerves from your hands, numbing those nerves. You would never be able to feel danger when you touch a hot pan, and your hand would burn. And you would not even feel it, and you'd end up losing your hand. You'd lose your entire hand because you would not have this physiological function that enables you or protects you from danger. This is the very same principle that God uses with watchmen in the church today. God has blessed many, many watchmen to be able to see danger and then alert the flock that, hey, there's danger. Don't go there. Don't do this. Don't do that. Retreat from a particular decision that you're going to be making. Don't fall into the trap of Satan. He has planted a trap there for you. Don't do it. The Lord has enlightened us in regard to what is coming upon the earth, that we may enlighten others. And we shall not be held guiltless if we are content to sit at ease and with folded hands and quibble over matters of minor importance. We want to argue about all bunch of stuff and talk about all sorts of things that's happening in the world, from a carnal standpoint. Discuss carnal matters instead of discussing things that will elevate our thinking and elevate our minds and take us to a better standing. The minds of many have been engrossed with contentions, and they have rejected the light given through the testimonies because it did not agree with their own opinions. There are many individuals today, many of us today, who continue to reject truth, reject light, because it does not align with our opinions. God is awakening so many individuals around the world today. It's almost like these individuals have the problem and we don't. I'll tell you something, and I'll probably get flacked for that by individuals watching the program. There's more of a problem with individuals who find no problem with the world and the way the world functions than people who are doing the work of God within the church. Let me repeat that again. There is more of a problem with individuals who find no fault with the way the world operates than people who find fault than people who actually do the work of God. So the people who are actually calling God's people conspiracy theorists, because they're exposing the works of darkness and they're exposing sinister agendas through the United Nations, through America, through the pandemic, through the Vatican, through the Jesuits, through whatever organization, whether it is the CDC or even the WHO, they're all in this thing. And one of those days, I'm going to spend some time, possibly tomorrow if I have the time, to really show you how these organizations are all linked, and they're all from the parent organization set up by the Vatican, and they're an embedded deep within their philosophy is the philosophy of the Vatican. I'm going to show you this. I will spend time to show you this and expose to you so you can see these people, they don't make decisions by chance. It's not a coincidence when they take certain decisions or they say certain things or whatever. Deep embedded within their philosophies are the philosophies of the Vatican. We'll spend some time on that. God does not force any man into his service. Every soul must decide for himself whether or not he will fall on the rock and be broken. Heaven has been amazed to see the spiritual stupidity that has prevailed. Let me repeat that again. Heaven has been amazed to see the spiritual stupidity that has prevailed. You need individually to open your proud hearts to the Spirit of God. You need to have your intellectual ability sanctified to the service of God. The transforming power of God must be upon you, that your minds may be renewed by the Holy Spirit, that you may have the mind that was in Christ. Let me explain something to you. Earlier this week, we witnessed the inauguration of President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. Yeah, first female vice president, first black female vice president, and Asian vice president. And there are many people who are celebrating with jubilation all around the world. I would understand because they were not happy with the previous president and his policies. I understand that clearly. But my caution to Seventh-day Adventists who know prophecy, who understand prophecy, is that you need to be very careful that your jubilation do not turn into sorrow because of the policies that will be implemented to take away your religious freedoms in the near future. Let me explain what I'm saying. Satan has a very, very intelligent way of fooling us and causing us to accept things or the narrative of the day because it appeals to certain biases that we have. For many women, some of the biases would be of a feminist agenda where they would love to see a woman serve in the highest office in America. And because of those biases, they get so blinded by what is really happening that they don't really see the sinister plans that Satan has in store for them. And therefore, the same way that you put bait, you take bait. Let me explain it to you that way. Fishermen, people who fish, I love to fish. It's been years I've gone fishing, but I love to fish. There are individual, when you go to fish, you take the bait and you cover up the hook so that the fish would not recognize what lies beneath. And so the fish has a bias, a pre-existing bias towards feeding. This is its natural instinct. This is what it's looking for. It is really looking. It's focused on food and feeding itself. And therefore, an individual will place the bait, the food that it's looking for, on a hook. Cast that hook into the ocean, And the fish now already focused on that fish, on that hook, and would say, look, listen, look how kind this person is sending me some fish, sending me food. And so they bite and they eat onto it, not knowing that there was a trap set for that fish, and that fish would have gotten caught by the hook. My warning to Seventh-day Adventists, in all walks of politics, whether St. Lucian politics, Caribbean politics, American politics, whatever politics, be very wary of the sinister plans that exist in the world today, because Satan is alive. He's existing today. He has a plan. He's using his agents. He's using individuals. He's using individuals to push his plans forward so that he can trap as many Seventh-day Adventists, as many Christians as possible, especially those who are ignorant and those who are carnally minded, who do not see the bigger picture of things that are behind. And so we focus on what we see and what we want to see. And Satan is he's a mastermind at those things that he will allow us. He recognizes that there are so many women in the Seventh-day Adventist Church who love to see women in positions of class, positions of power, positions that will enable them to lead. And I'll tell you something, Satan over the years has set up the stage for what's happening right now, for the feminist movement. Do you know why women are so caught up in the feminist movement? It is because Satan for many, many years oppressed women and women's rights, that now women's rights are becoming something. Women are given more prominence in society. Their positions are greater now. This is what they've been yearning for, and therefore I strongly believe that Satan is going to use, just as he used a woman to cause the fall of man in the beginning, he is going to use a woman to play the last sins of Earth's history as we narrow down the time to the end. The same way he used a woman at the beginning, he's going to use a woman in the end to bring to a close the close of probation and the end of Earth's history. And I'll tell you something, he has set the stage for that to happen, because for many, many years, women were so oppressed. They were not given rights as women. They were not being paid as for the same job that other men were being paid for. They were being ill-treated and everything. And it is only now you see the Me Too movement is going on. You see the feminist movement which was at its height in the 60s and 70s and 80s. And now you're seeing the culmination of women ordination, women pastors, and there's this shift for women to be recognized and to be given power and stuff. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm not saying that women should not be given jobs and given positions and stuff or whatever. But I'm saying that this trap was set specifically for a period that we're in right now by Satan. This is what you call the Hegelian dialectic. And so when people see Kamala Harris rise to the White House, everyone is embracing this, not seeing what is really coming behind. And therefore, my warning to Seventh-day Adventists is, before you start celebrating, just know you might actually be celebrating, and I say might, because I'm not a prophet, I'm not going to predict things in the future, but I say might, you might be celebrating a woman who will enact legislation that will take away your religious freedoms and legislation that will be against you. So while you're celebrating the same woman, she might be a bigger part of a plan that is going to take away your freedoms in the near future, and that will bring persecution to you. So your joy today, seeing a woman in the White House and everything, might actually turn to your sorrow tomorrow to see that you're being persecuted because of of legislation that she put forward in the House. So I'm just saying, we're supposed to be neutral when it comes to matters of politics. We're supposed to be neutral when it comes to those kind of carnal events, because we cannot find ourselves too engrossed in those things, supporting one party over our next, over another, and everything. And the party that we support is the party that ends up putting laws and legislation in place that will be against both you and me. So the very same people that you support will be the very same people that will take away your religious freedoms. We must be very, very careful when it comes to those kind of things. If the watchmen sleep under an opiate of Satan's and do not recognize the voice of the true shepherd and do not take up the warning, I tell you in the fear of God, they will be charged with the blood of souls. Let me read that again. If the watchmen sleep under an opiate of Satan's and do not recognize the voice of the true shepherd and do not take up the warning, I tell you in the fear of God, they will be charged with the blood of souls. So all of those individuals who are actually asking us to keep quiet, for whatever will be, if prophecy has to be fulfilled, it will be fulfilled. If Sunday law has to be enacted, it will be enacted. All the individuals who are saying that, we've gone through that earlier on in the presentation. You're basically telling individuals to shut up about the jobs as a watchman. And if you as a watchman decide to listen to these individuals who are telling you to keep quiet and to focus on something else, or whatever the case is, Sister White is saying that God will charge us with the blood of souls who will perish because we did not warn them. The watchmen must be wide awake, men who will not slumber at the post of duty day or night. They must give the trumpet a certain sound, that the people may shun the evil and choose the good. Stupidity and careless indifference cannot be excused. Let me repeat that again. Stupidity and careless indifference cannot be excused. And therefore, there are many of us who are experiencing spiritual stupidity today. We are spiritual, but we are so stupid in the things that we do and the things that we say. And our stupidity, our foolishness, our ignorance, especially the willful ignorance that we have, will not excuse us from God's judgment. It is no excuse. It's not going to excuse us from what is to come with God's judgment. Let me read again from Review and Herald, December 24th, 1889, paragraph 9 this time. Light must come to the people through agents whom God shall choose. Who will give the note of warning that none may be ignorant or that none may be in ignorance of the purposes of God or the devices of Satan? God intends for all of his saints to not be ignorant of God's purposes for them, nor Satan's devices. We're supposed to pay attention to Satan's devices, and we're supposed to investigate what's happening behind the scenes so that we can warn those who do not have the foresight to see, particularly even the spiritually stupid individuals. And this is a term, it's not an insult, it's actually a term in the spirit of prophecy, by the way, in case you don't know. At the great heart of the work, Satan will use his hellish arts to the utmost. He will seek in every possible way to interpose himself between the people of God, between the people and God, and shut away the light that God would have come to his children. This is what Satan wants to do. It is his design to keep them in ignorance of what shall come upon the earth. It is Satan's design to keep us in his ignorance, or to keep us ignorant of what shall come upon the earth and what is happening upon the earth. So the individuals who are labeling people like me and Walter Vyff and so many others as conspiracy theorists. They're doing that in an attempt to dissuade persons from listening to the programs, listening to the messages, because there's message in there that exposes the work of Satan. And Satan doesn't want to have individuals know what his plans are, because when individuals know what the devices are, they will make a decision to avert the danger that lies ahead. And therefore, Satan wants to ensure that people remain ignorant, because he knows that if you are ignorant in these last days, you are considered to be lost, because ignorance is no excuse. We have enough information these days to be able to teach us what the truth is, what God intends for us to know. Years have been lost, but will you now awake? This is the question. You have wasted many years, but are you going to awaken now in 2021? Are you going to tell yourself, I need to be awakened right now? Will those in responsible positions take in the situation? Or will they, by their indifference and inactivity, say to the people, peace and safety? There are many who are actually preaching this and saying, listen, stop being alarmists. There are persons who are actually saying that we need to stop being alarmists. As a matter of fact, I've been called an alarmist, and many have been called an alarmist. There are individuals who are saying we need to stop alarming people and telling people that the end is coming and the end is near and all those things that's happening right now will go back to normal. I heard a preacher once preach about the fact that there are individuals alerting persons about this pandemic, that it is the beginning of the end and all of that and whatnot. And he told his congregation that we things the world will go back to normal. And I want to ask this individual, if he's watching, or persons who have heard these sayings, I want to ask the question, if our preachers and our members are trying to quell the urgency of the message, and the message being that we need to be prepared, we need to prepare ourselves, we need to detach from the world, we need to do what we need to do to take flight very, very soon, flee to the hills. This is the message for this time. And persons who are trying to quell that message and to say, hey, there's going to be peace and safety, things are going to get back to normal. I want to ask you the question. Did you not hear Tedros Adhanom? Did you not hear Tedros, the Secretary General of the WHO? Did you not hear him when he said that things aren't going to get back to normal? This is going to be the new normal. Did you not hear the Secretary General of the UN when he said that this, you know, what's going to happen with the surveillance and everything else, it's going to be the new normal? Did you not hear that things aren't going to change? Did you not hear from the World Economic Forum that we're not going back to normal? So why are you trying to make people believe that we're not really living in a pressing time? Why are you making people believe that we're not living in the end time? Why are you making people believe that what's happening now is just another sign and it's not really indicative of worse things to come? I tell you something, if you're a preacher or you're a member of this church and you are teaching these kind of things to individuals, the blood of the saints will be charged upon you. If you don't stop and change the way you preach and change the messaging, the blood of the saints will be on you, because when they are lost, they would have been lost because of what you told them. May God help everyone to come up to the help of the Lord now. The watchmen have been asleep, but may God grant that they may not sleep the sleep of death. Amen, amen. May God grant us all that we may not sleep the sleep of death. It is now too late in the day for men to please and glorify themselves. Ministers of God, it is too late to be contending for the supremacy. Let me tell you something. It is too late now, ministers, to try to go and acquire doctorates and accolades. It is too late in prophecy right now to be able to be focused on those fanciful things and trying to build a mansion for yourself and trying to elevate your stature in society. It's too late for that. Humble yourselves and do the work with the power that God has given to you. Lay preachers, evangelists, it is too late now to try to acquire supremacy, to contend for supremacy. It's too late in the day for these things. We're supposed to be collectively working as a unit so that we can spread the message. Those who have acquired their accolades, let it be and let them use it for whatever means. Those who have not acquired, God is going to equip you. Don't waste money and time and effort on trying to acquire accolades and stature and all of those things. If you want to advance yourself, fine, advance yourself for the gospel. But if it's going to take your focus away and going to take you away from preaching the message that you're supposed to preach, forget it. Because God didn't call the equipped. He called the unequipped so that he can equip you for ministry. Many people will say, but equipping means that he will put you in school and he will put you in places that you can gain your doctorate and stuff and that sort of thing. I don't know. If that's where God leads you, I'm not going to judge. But all I'm saying is, it is too late in the day to be focused on self and gratifying self and the goals, the individual goals that we have. Right now, we should be focused on God's goals and spreading the gospel according to what God has asked us to do. Therefore, the solemn time has come when ministers should be weeping between the porch and the altar, crying, "Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach." It is a day when instead of lifting up their souls in self-sufficiency, ministers and people should be confessing their sins before God and one another. The law of God is made void, and even among those who advocate its binding claims are some who break its sacred precepts. And let me tell you something. Last week we looked at the antitypical Day of Atonement. The same attitude and the same requirements that the children of God had to have attained during the typical Day of Atonement when the high priest was physically doing what he needed to do. I'm telling you, this is the attitude that God's people are supposed to have in the antitypical day. The antitypical day basically is the work that Christ is doing right now in the most holy place. It is the Day of Atonement. It is Christ being our high priest in the most holy place and atoning for sin. He's blotting out sin and he's also interceding on our behalf. He's also investigating our lives to see whether we live according to the word that we need to that we have received and the light that we've received. And therefore, Christ is atoning right now. And therefore, what is required of God's people during that time? It is required of God's people to put away sin, afflict your souls. And not only that, you're supposed to be fasting. Fasting means you're supposed to be fasting from the world, fasting from the things of the world, fasting from the enticing foods of the world that is bad for your health. So the health message is also important. We looked at that last week. But not only that, God is also requiring us to spread the gospel and to minister to the people and to warn the people of what is happening in the world today. God is asking all of us to become watchmen and to awaken. Let me tell you something. Christ, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, left the disciples and told them to watch and pray. Like the disciples, they fell asleep. We are asleep. There are people who don't like to hear that. But unless you're seeing what's really happening behind the scenes, and unless the Spirit is revealing to you truth, unless the Spirit is talking to you and showing you what is really happening behind the scenes, particularly during this pandemic, unless the Spirit is leading you, and unless you're doing the work that God has asked you to do, unless you're afflicting your souls, let me tell you something, you are asleep. If you're struggling to accept this message today, you are asleep. There are people who don't like to hear this. That's the truth. The law of God is made void, and even among those who advocate its binding claims are some who break its sacred precepts. Brethren and sisters, the Lord wants to impart to us increased light. He desires that we shall have distinct revealings of His glory, that ministers and people shall become strong in strength. When the angel was about to unfold to Daniel the intensely interesting prophecies to be recorded for us. Let me repeat that again in case you didn't hear. The intensely interesting prophecies to be recorded for us who are to witness their fulfillment. The angel said, "Be strong, yea, be strong." We are to receive the very same glory that was revealed to Daniel, because it is for God's people in the last days, that they may give the trumpet a certain sound. God help us to work unitedly and as we never have worked before, is my prayer. This was Sister White's prayer. It's also my prayer. It should also be your prayer. And let me tell you something. The prophecies were revealed to Daniel, but it was meant for us. It was not revealed to happen. The end time prophecies were not revealed to Daniel and broken down for him to know the nitty-gritty of those things in terms of the accuracy of the details of those prophecies. It was not meant for him in his time, because it was not supposed to pass or be fulfilled in his time. But it was meant for us. And when you see those broad prophecies are fulfilling, if you are under the Spirit of God, you will see the accuracy in details that's happening, and you'll be able to understand and connect the dots. You cannot be a child of God and be led by the Spirit, and the Spirit is not revealing truth to you, and the Spirit is not revealing light to you. Let me tell you something, every single person who's under the direction of the Holy Spirit, who's under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you will be it will reveal truth to you. Especially in the last days, when you study the prophecies and you see them, and you see the fulfillment of those prophecies right before your eyes, you will not see just the fulfillment of those prophecies. You will see the connecting dots of those prophecies, because the Spirit that is guiding you will reveal those truths to you. It will reveal light to you that was not given to Daniel, that was not given to Sister White, that was not given to John the Revelator. God will reveal certain things and certain aspects of those prophecies to you that is not even written in the book, because God will be speaking to you directly. The Spirit will be revealing truth to you directly, and you will be able to see things that others aren't seeing. There is need now of faithful Calebs, whose voices will be heard in clear ringing tones, saying of the immortal inheritance, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able." We need now the courage of God's faithful servant of old. Not one wavering, uncertain note should come from the watchers' trumpets. They must be true to the sacred, solemn work that has been entrusted to them, and lead the flock of God in right pathways. Are we not leading you in the right pathway here at Advent Channel? Are we not telling you to be wary of those things that's happening in the world today, that you will not be caught up in it? To not be carnally minded? Are we not telling you to go back to the Bible? Are we not telling you to go back to God? Are we not telling you to afflict your souls right now, which is what you're supposed to do in the antitypical Day of Atonement? Are we not telling you to have a closer relationship with Jesus? Are we not telling you to go back to the health message? Are we not telling you to do the things that will cause you to have a place in heaven? Are we not warning you about the things of this world, and that you will not get caught up in there? Are we not warning you here at the Advent Channel? If we were telling you to go to fetes and to go to parties and to do bad things and whatnot, I would understand the justification for the persecution that we're faced with, for the statements that are made towards us. I would understand that justification. But hey, we're admonishing you to have a closer and a better relationship with God. What advice could be better than that? So we spoke of the antitypical Day of Atonement last week. The main message of the antitypical Day of Atonement is put away sin. Put away sin. Say it with me. Put away sin. This is what God is calling us to do right now. Put away sin. But not only put away sin, we need to fast. We need to be focused on the work of God and not focus on worldly matters. There are many of us who are too focused on worldly matters, too consumed by worldly matters, that we don't have time for the work of God. We don't have time for the study of the Word of God. This letter was written in 1908. We become overcomers by helping others to overcome. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, the keeping of the commandments of God will yield in us an obedient spirit and the service that the offspring of such a spirit God can accept. When I help you overcome sin, I also gain the strength to overcome sin. But not only that, when I help you study, I also benefit from the study. Because in order to present to you truths, I would have to do my research. I would have to do my study. I would have to do my reading and then present it to you. In doing that, I also learn. So we learn together, we grow in grace, and we grow together in Christ. That's the beauty of ministry. When you minister, you also benefit. Not only will the hearers of the ministry and the receptors of the ministry benefit, but the giver of the ministry is also a beneficiary of God's word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I mean, this is amazing. And I have a personal testimony of this. That when you spread the message and you share the word of God, you also benefit in ways beyond where you could recognize. So not only are people benefiting from the ministry, but you also benefit. So when you minister to the sick and you minister to the poor and you reach the less fortunate and you minister to those in prison and you minister to every single person that you can, every time you do that, you also benefit. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 to 12 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy or the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We read this text and we don't even understand what this text is really telling us. And so we see the world as if the world has no evil agendas, that the politicians have no evil agendas, that the UN has not an evil agenda, that the Jesuits do not have an evil agenda, that the CDC, that the WHO, and all of those Confederate organizations have no evil agenda. This is what we see. And so when we hear people talk about a sinister plan that is being implemented through the organizations of the UN and the WHO and the CDC and the FEMA and the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergs, and the CFR, we call these things conspiracies. The reason we call these things conspiracies is because we've not really understood Ephesians 6:12. Because if we really understood what Paul was saying in Ephesians 6:12, we would really, really, really have no issue with the fact that Satan is alive and using whomever that he can use. Whoever will make themselves available to be used by him, he will use them. And so we're fighting against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul is talking about several entities there, both worldly and spiritual. He's talking about worldly entities. He's also talking about spiritual entities, which is helmed by Satan. And finally, Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Brethren, let's not be spiritually stupid right now. It's too late to be spiritually stupid. It's too late to be spiritually foolish right now. You can't call yourself a Seventh-day Adventist, a Christian. You can't say that you're spiritual and be stupid at the same time. It's an oxymoron. If you're spiritual, you're being led by the Spirit, and therefore you'd be able to see what's really going on in the world today. And you would not be looking through carnal lens, but you'd be looking through spiritual lens. And therefore, when these things happen with the election of Joe Biden and the inauguration of Joe Biden and the inauguration of Kamala Harris, you will not be jumping in jubilee, celebrating these things or whatever. You'd be watching and praying right now, because you don't even know if they're the ones who are going to be taking away your religious freedom. You don't even know whether they would be the ones through which Rome will attain the heights that it needs to in the last days. You don't even know whether it's through them that they will implement legislation that will bring to fruition the final city spoken of in Revelation 18. You don't even know whether they're the ones who are going to do that. So when you jumped in jubilee because one monster, if you want to call him that, is just left, but another one is coming in. So when everybody's talking about peace and safety, because things can get back to normal, that America could get back to normal, the presidency could be respected again, the office of the presidency could be respected again by the world and everything. When you talk about all of those things, listen, let me tell you something. We're ending now, but let me just say this quickly. You know what? I will do this in a separate presentation, because I think I need to allocate much time to it and not rush it. But I'll tell you something. Stop looking at the world through a carnal lens. Everything that happens in the world, especially in these last days, must be taken into context through spiritual application. It must be taken in through spiritual context, and not through carnal context or secular context or something that is abstract from the fulfillment of prophecy. Everything that is happening in the world today is a step closer in the direction of the fulfillment of prophecy. So do not take anything abstract and take anything as a coincidence, or take anything away from what God is warning us about. Pay attention, watch and wait. Watch and pray. And don't get too excited when things such as what took place this week in America, because you might be crying later on. You might be happy today, but you might be crying later on. So may God richly bless you. We've come to the end of this presentation. It was a wonderful time being here with you. I did say that we're not going to be spending too much time tonight. Let us pray as we close. I thank you for your undivided attention. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the words that you've given us tonight. I pray that you will continue to bless us, continue to enrich us with your Spirit. Fill us up, that your Spirit will direct our path, that your Spirit will lead us into all truth, that your Spirit will reveal light to us concerning events that are taking place, things that we cannot see through the carnal mind and the carnal eyes that we have, that you will give us spiritual eyesight to discern spiritual things, and that you will not allow us just to see those things that are happening, but it will prompt us to reflect at our lives and the direction in which we are, in which we are walking, that we will take stock and do the necessary things that we need to do in order to come back to you, in order to walk in your light, in order to prepare ourselves to receive you with gladness, we ask in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for staying with me. Quick announcement, tomorrow at 10 o'clock St. Lucian time, we will be back with our presentation. The presentation for tomorrow morning is entitled, Health for the Final Crisis. Health for the Final Crisis is our presentation from 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. I will be laying the foundation for the feature program for tomorrow, which is vaccination, Ellen White, and Adventist history. Questioning the facts. Okay, my guest tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock St. Lucian time will be Dr. Timothy Prenick, or Prenick, I really don't know how to pronounce the name, so sorry, Elder, for butchering your surname. But he will be my guest tomorrow. He's a doctor. He's a chiropractor. He holds a bachelor's in theology. He also holds a bachelor's in psychology. And he is an advocate of the health message. He's also an advocate of naturopathy. He's also an advocate of Adventism and Adventist history. We'll talk a little more about his background tomorrow afternoon, but just to let you know that we will be back 10 o'clock in the morning and then again in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. So that's 9 o'clock US, 9 a.m. US Eastern Time, and 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time, which is 3 o'clock St. Lucian Time and 10 o'clock St. Lucian Time. God bless you, and thank you so much for staying with us. Make sure you watch the program tomorrow. It's going to be very interesting. I promise you that it's going to be very interesting. The afternoon program, we will be taking your calls. So make sure you call. Any question you may have on the vaccine, I've already started getting questions from individuals all around the world in anticipation of the program, and they're already asking me to deal with the questions ahead of everybody else's. But feel free to send in your questions, or you could just call and speak directly to the elder when he comes on the show tomorrow. God's willing, we'll be having a wonderful program in the afternoon. May God richly bless you, and see you tomorrow, God's willing. God bless. Take care.